blood. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Every word you ever had, every thought you ever had. Sorry. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hands upon me. Hallelujah. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Hallelujah. That's such an awesome psalm. Grace to you and peace from God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful responsive reading. Asking God, see if there's any wicked ways in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. Isn't that awesome? That's a beautiful psalm. And you can read that psalm in your Bible and read it in about 1 minute. Can you give God a minute a day? How many say I can give God a minute a day? Isn't that sad sometimes? You have to ask people that. Isn't that sad? Doesn't it make your heart sad that you have to ask people to read the Word of God? Read a little bit of the Word of God? People say, well, I don't understand it. Did anything we read today, Bianca, did everybody understand what we just read? There is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Is that easy? God knows everything you think and everything you said, and guess what? He still loves you. Oh, my God. There are families today in November who aren't speaking to each other. Not speaking to each other because they don't agree politically with each other. Isn't that insane? I mean, there's Red Sox fans who won't speak to Yankee fans.
Not here.
It's insane.
Not here.
Not here, praise the Lord. No, but it's the truth. You look it up, talk to people. I've disowned. Anybody ever hear that? I disowned somebody in my family? That's crazy. But it's happening. Hello, no, truly. There's people who are not talking to people because they disagree. We don't have time for that. How much time do you have left? Think about it. Whatever age you are, how much time do you have left? You don't know, amen? But you can be mad at somebody? That's crazy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. All right, here's the quiz. We got some questions. Miss Zoe, welcome to our church. These are quiz with multiple choice, and nobody's going to know if Jean gets the wrong answer. Only you will know. You watch her when she raises her hand up here. Multiple choice. In the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon, what does Solomon mean by calling his bride an enclosed garden? What does he mean? His bride's an enclosed garden. She is untouched and faithful, or she is fruitful, or she is strong and beautiful. That's a hard one, right? And the song, what does Solomon mean by calling his bride an enclosed garden? Because she is untouched and faithful? Hey, anybody? How about that she is fruitful? Anybody fruitful? How about she is strong and beautiful? An enclosed garden. Because she is untouched and faithful. Hey, was the answer. That's a great one. This is one of the interesting ones. From the book of Matthew. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall... No fair looking. Who said that?
Nancy.
Elder Nancy. For they shall be comforted, obtain mercy, or see God. Oh, she didn't say that, did she? Ah. All right. Blessed is the pure of heart, for they shall be comforted. How about obtain mercy? Mercy. How about see God? For they shall see God. Pure of heart. Good job. I got one more for today. We'll get on to the sermon. This is interesting too, because I never thought of this. The law came how many years later after Abraham? How many realize that the Ten Commandments were given after Abraham? Abraham did not have the Ten Commandments. And that's what the law means, the Ten Commandments. There's beautiful. But how many years later from Abraham did we get the Ten Commandments, right? Is it 400? Is it 430? Or is it 460 years after? That's interesting to me. Well, I never even thought of that.
Wow.
So how many years later did the law come. How many think it was 400 years later? You can just guess. 430, 430, wow. And 460, 460. Elder, why did you say 430?
Sound like a good number.
Iman, why did you say
430? I thought the same thing.
Well, the answer is, Brian, what did you say back there, beautiful? 430, 400, or 460? 430. Yeah, it's 430 years. Great job. It's a great day to go out and buy a lottery ticket. Thanks God. Imagine that, 430 years after Abraham, before we get the Ten Commandments. And God, knowing that we couldn't keep these commandments, he dropped these down to how many?
Two.
So, well, you can't do this, how about two? Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Yeah, that gets you every time. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's the one. Gets you every time, doesn't it? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's what you got to do. You want the blessing, that's what you have to do. Is it that simple? Forgive. Who's forgiving you? God. All right. All right, now the sermon. I love it. I'm sorry. I wanted to get into a sermon today. I said, I'm going to just read, because you all come to the Bible study, you know we start dissecting words like crazy. But I didn't want to do that. I'm going to get a psalm, and I found the psalm. I found the first psalm. I said, that's it. I'm going to dive in, and I'm not going to stop. That's what I thought. So I write the first psalm that David ever wrote. And it starts with, ready? Blessed.
Amen.
What's the word?
Blessed.
I had to stop. What? I blessed. I'm one word in and I gotta stop. So what does blessed mean? Somebody said to me, God bless you. Pat and Tom, by the way, we love you. Welcome home. Thank you for all the prayers. All the prayers. So here's your pastor. I'm gonna give you a sermon in the first word. Stop. Blessed. It means fulfilled, satisfied, or content. Blessed. When you say to somebody, God bless you, how many times have you ever said that? Anybody ever say, well, God bless you? Do you know what you're saying? You know, the word bless sounds like one word, but the word bless is plural. I learned that in English in high school. The word plural, how many know what plural means? Many, right? When you say bless you or blessed, it means content. So you say plural. May God bless you. May God fulfill you. Hallelujah. It means, may God give you health. Amen? Now we know blessing is health, right? So you say health. What else is it? Prosperity. God's word says that we should prosper. Amen? So may God prosper you. And there's more. How about favor with men? How many want to find favor with men? So when you're saying God bless you, may you find favor with man. May you find peace. May you find joy. So when the Bible says blessed, that's a pretty big story. When you say God bless you, you are asking God to give them everything. Not just one thing. Oh, I give you a blessing. That's why it drives me crazy. Just me opinion. When somebody on TV says, I'll give you a double blessing. I don't, what do I need a double blessing? I got God blessing me. What is he going to leave out? What's the deal? I'm going to get double healthy. I'm going to get double good success. I mean, it's crazy, right? But see, it says blessed. It's one word. So if you mean it when you say it, and if you mean it when you say it, you're truly asking God to fulfill your wish for another. You're asking God to bless your friend, another, prosperity, health, all that good success. And God, how many know that God hears your prayer? So when you say God bless you, God says, okay, I'll bless that person. Because you asked me to, it shall be done. So David is saying, blessed is the man. One word into it, I got one whole page. And I'm only one word into it. Amen. This is God's word. When you read it, you certainly got to stop. But the second word is what? Is. Stop. What, God? What? Come on. Is. Remember that? We heard that one time in the country. Remember whatever the meaning of is? But is, I got is the word. Is. Try to say, take, you know, is. You can talk about is. You say stop. It's like it. You can take, you take it. You can't talk without it. You can't do anything without it. You can't sing. I mean, it just it's is. What does is mean? Jim, it means already done. You don't have to wait for it. Blessed is. Amen. Two words in and we're just stuck on blessed is. Already done. If you do what you said to do. Get it should do. Is. That's why you gotta stop at is. Say, I'm already blessed. Yes. It's already, yes. Do I gotta wait for it? No. Because blessed is. And the next part says, I'll read a little more. I'm going to go a little further now. Ready? Blessed is the man. The man. Who's the man? Raise your hand, everybody. You're, I know if you're a woman, raise your hand. That's okay. It doesn't mean that. It's a man. And then I got to stop again. The man. Did it say the king?
No.
Did it say the rich man? Does it say the poor man? No. The celebrity? No, right? No, I'm serious. You've already got blessed, and the word is because it's already happening. And then it says the man. Who is the man? We are the man. We are. Not the king, not the celebrity. Blessed is the man. Whew. One line into the sound and we're already tired. Blessed is the man. And then there's a real big word. I love this word.
Who?
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. It tells me how to be blessed as the man. That's the part. I'm almost 2 pages in. I've got like one line of the psalm. This is going to take forever. Sit back. No, we're not going that far. Blessed is the man. Wow. Health, blessing, security, find favor. Miss Jean, I told you to ask. I said, you'll find favor. And you said yes. And what did they do for you? They had wheelchairs ready from the plane, from the where you drop the luggage to the plane back and forth. That's called finding favor. You asked and God provided. Right, Walter? Those were blessings. See, bless, you found blessing. See, blessing isn't when we say bless. It sounds like one word. No, you're saying God bless them. You know, I need a double blessing, Faith. I don't want to get in trouble with people on TV. And maybe they offer me a double blessing, but hey, God bless me. I don't need anything. Anyway, all right, so let's go. Blessed is he, the man, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What is that now? So I looked up counsel. It means in the company of. Who not walk in the company of the ungodly. Now, you know ungodly and unbelievers are two different things. There's some unbelievers that I've met that are so wonderful that you can't even stop to say what a beautiful person they are. I'm talking about ungodly who have no need for God, don't want to know God, mocks God. How many know people do that? Yes, mocks the word of God, you know that. So he's saying don't keep counsel. Don't get the advice of, don't spend time with the ungodly. You know, so many ungodly will say something and you might say, well, that sounds pretty good. Amen? You know what I'm saying? You might say to yourself, well, I'll give it a try. I might give that a try, even though it doesn't. But if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, simply put, you're not going to get blessed. Understand that? If you're living a life, you're doing something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, you're not going to be blessed. God's going to pour out favor. How many knows the difference between his favor and his love and his forgiveness and his grace? It's different than being, you want God to bless you now. You want to be content. You want to be fulfilled. So it said, don't hang around. Don't get advice from the ungodly. Because you might say that. Yeah, well, that sounds pretty good. I might give that a try. Even if it does not line up with the word of God. Getting counsel from unbelievers, from doubters, and from the foolish. Whew. That sounds pretty easy to us because we don't want to do that, amen? I don't want anybody to do that. I wouldn't want you to do that. You don't get advice from the Bible from the baker. You don't go to the mechanic, you know, to get a haircut. You go to God. You go to the Bible to get your advice from God, amen? You have counsel. You meet with other people who believe as you do, who are just can raise you up and you can lift them up. When I'm talking to people on the phone, they're lifting me up, I'm lifting them up. That's the way God acts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Whew. All right, let's go. Nor stands in the path of sinners. Wow. How many knew that sinning had a path? There's a path to sinners. Anybody ever take that path? No, don't say it. Walter and Gina, we missed you so much. That I mentioned last Sunday that I confessed to stealing a plum. And then I mentioned to them after church on Sunday, I had so many people come up to me confessing their sins that it was remarkable. I just had it because, see, there's a path. And we don't want to take shortcuts. It said that nor stands in the path of sinners. It's kind of walking, standing, sitting. It's just amazing. Nor stands in the path of sinners. How many know a path is a road, a direction? We know, and listen, don't say nothing because I know how this is going to work. But we all know when we're on the wrong road. Just say amen. I know it and you know it. You're on the wrong road. If you are confident what you do and what you say, your opinions, your choices, your paths are always the right ones, I would challenge you to read the road signs. If you think that everything you say and do and feel is the right one always, I would challenge you to check the path that you're on. Look into the mirror, I wrote. I'm not saying anyone is standing on the wrong path. Can I get an amen? However, pride can rise up. The untamable tongue. The Bible says you cannot control your what? Your tongue. Which means you can't always control what you say. Hallelujah. The tongue is uncontrollable and it can hurt hearts and minds, especially those that we profess to love. With your tongue, you could be on the wrong path and you could say things to somebody that you love so much and don't even realize that you hurt them. And you know why it hurts sometimes? Because they love you and they adore you. And when you say that to them, it's coming from somebody that matters. Amen? That's the path that you don't want to be on. Amen? That's so important to understand that. We're not always right. I'm sorry. It can hurt hearts and minds, especially those we love. Those paths must be avoided for our own good and for those we say we love. And in your bulletin today, there's a couple of those scriptures that says, Matthew 7:13 says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. In other words, you want to take the road less what? Traveled. You want that path to be the road less traveled. You want to be on the right path. You want to be on the path to what, church? Blessings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 16 on your bulletin. He said, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness and joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Who does not want that? Anybody here? Don't raise your hand, right? Listen to what it says in the South. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I ask you again, who wouldn't want that? And that's the way to be, is not be on that path. Don't be on the wrong path. Be on whose path? His path. Because the Bible says you are going to be blessed. What is blessed mean? Fulfilled. You're going to be content. If you're not totally content today, ask God to show me. Maybe there's another path that I can take. Maybe there's a shortcut I can. Maybe there's another road. The road less traveled. Because we all understand that everybody's on that big highway. That road that just goes to destruction. Praise God. What a beautiful sound. Take the road less traveled. Okay, where are we? Not even there. Nor sits in the seat of the scoundrel. Let me read. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't take advice from them. Nor stands in the path of sinners. Don't get carried away with pride and all that. Nor sits in the seat of the scoundrel. The scornful. Scornful means mocking, scoffing, snide, and sneering. I've seen that. Those who have nothing good to say. Anybody ever see that person that have nothing good to say? When they call you on the phone, you know who it is, and you do what? You don't pick up the phone. Why? Because they have nothing good to say. Why? Why don't you pick it up? Because I don't want to hear it. Because when you keep hearing stuff like that, and you start spending time with stuff like that, guess what you sound like? That. I'm sorry, it's true, amen? When you're criticizing people, when you're always down, when you're mocking people, when you're scoffing and stuff, guess what? People don't want to hear it. And it's not that they don't love you. It's that they want to be lifted up. See, that's, I want to be blessed. If you've got a problem and you want to call and pray about it, that's different. But if you want to call just to complain, I don't want to hear it because it pulls me down. And then I end up agreeing, well, yeah, that was really... So you want to lift people up. You don't want to, what it says there, sit in the seat of the scornful. Criticize each other. Listen, it happens. Spend too much time with unbelievers and doubters and complainers, and soon you will sound just like them. Wow. Right? I mean, I'm just saying. These are not sins. We're not talking about sins. Again, these are not sins, but the psalm I'm reading from starts out with what word?
Blessed.
Blessed are, right? Blessed are who? So it starts out with blessed. So I want to be blessed. How many want to be blessed? I want to be blessed. I'm not saying any of this is sinful. I'm just saying that if you know you go on the right path, you want to be blessed. You want fulfillment. You want contentment. You want joy. Amen. Remember, it says if you want friends, you need to be what?
Friendly.
Is that hard to understand? We just gave thanks for like a half a dozen things, and we just started. Amen. Pat and Tom are here today. I give thanks for Pat and Tom. I mean, there's so much to be thankful. John is here with his son Joseph. He's got a lot to be thankful for. It's not a little thing. Buffalo's going to win today. Sergio will be thankful. Again, the psalm starts out with a word that took us a whole page. Blessed. From God, not from man. You find favor with God, you find favor with man. If God is walking in front of you, if you're walking a path and he's right there and you're walking behind him, you're going to find good success. You're going to find prosperity. You're going to find happiness. The word happy is not in the Bible very often because it's so meaningless compared to being blessed. If you're fulfilled, trust me, you're going to be happy. Praise God. Here's where I'm going to get in trouble now. It's almost done.
Yeah.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord. There you go. Second scripture. Second verse. It took all that 3.5 pages and we're only into the second verse. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. What's the law of the Lord? Well, the commandments. But it's not. What the law of the Lord is, are you ready? The Bible. The Bible. Your delight is in the Bible. You understand what that means? That you love the Bible, that you love reading. I know Jean, I don't mean to pick on her, but she's a real big Bible reader. I spoke to her the other day, and she was quoting scriptures as fast as I can come up with them. She was quoting more. I told this story a lot. People would ask me so much. My son wants to play the guitar. Should I give him lessons? Right? Zippy will agree with me, I'm sure. I tell them this. If your son wants to play a guitar and you get him a guitar, if you have to say to them one time, you need to practice, they don't want to play the guitar. They want to play the piano. You get a piano and then you say, hey, you got to take your lessons, you got to practice. They don't want to play the piano. And I'm saying that if they love something, if they want to do it, guess what? They will do it. You couldn't get the guitar out of my hand, the first chord, the second chord, learning how to play that. I'm sure Zippy, I'm sure Greg will tell you this. It takes practice. And practice takes a heart for it. And you delight in the practice. It's not practice anymore. It's not a chore anymore because you're learning something that you want to do. That's what he's saying here. To delight yourself in the Word of God. Delight yourself in the Bible and you'll be, it just lifts you up. When you read the Bible, it lifts you up. It helps you. It doesn't help me. It helps you. Everything I've ever read that a pastor prays for is a church full of Bible readers. You're searching for God's wisdom and your knowledge yourself. So when I preach it, you say, yes, I know that. And you say, hallelujah and amen. Amen.
Amen.
So delight in the law. Well, whose law? Whose law?
God.
Of the Lord. It says that. Delight in the law of the Lord. Find great pleasure when you read it. Happiness, peace, and joy in His Word, where you find strength. Anybody going through anything today? Of course we are. You find strength in the Word of God when you delight in it. You love it so much. Martin Luther said this. I'm sorry, Dave, I'll have to read big downstairs for getting everything ready. But I love this. He's quoted. Martin Luther said that he could not live in paradise without the Word of God, but he could live well enough in hell with it. Interesting, right? He said, I couldn't live in paradise without the Word of God, but if I got sent to hell, as long as I had the Word of God, I can live well enough with it. That's delight. That's the love of the Word. Amen? This book, this living book that's moving under my hand. Hallelujah. Delight in the Lord. Delight in the law, right here. Find a page, and we're going to finish with that here. But here's where I'm going to get in trouble, because I've asked so many people in my lifetime, and I'm not picking on them, I'm just saying, because the next scripture says, and in His law, He meditates day and night. And here's where it comes. Meditates. I've asked people from all religions, do you meditate? I meditate. What do you do? Oh, I just empty my mind. I clear my mind. Oh, then what do you do? What's meditate? I'm trying to ask. Anybody ever do that? When you really want to know something, you ask. Oh, I meditate. What are you doing? Oh, I just clear my thoughts, empty my head, feel the wind blowing. Okay. First of all, I got to tell you one thing. Reading is not meditating. How many know that's true? You can read your Bible front to back, and that's not meditating. You can read it on your knees. That's not meditating. In fact, that's painful. Somebody once said that they read the whole Bible on their knees, and I say, why don't you get a nice chair? Find a nice chair, sit back and relax with a little glass of wine, and read the Bible one page at a time. You might enjoy it better than on your knees. Because the older you get, how many know it's a little harder to be on your knees? God doesn't want you in pain while you're reading the Word. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. But meditating on the Word is different. It's totally opposite than what people call meditation. Some people say, just empty your mind. It's completely opposite of what David is telling us in this psalm. Remember what we're saying. Blessed is he who. Remember what blessings mean. Meditation. People say, clear your mind. Okay. But let me read what happens to you. Let me read something. You clear your mind, you clear your thoughts. And Isaiah says, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So if you're clear in your mind to think, you're not going to think God's thoughts, amen? Because His thoughts, said they're not your thoughts, and His ways are not your ways. He has a greater plan. So when you're just meditating and clearing your mind and thinking, well, I don't know, that sounds a little dangerous to me. I'm just saying, amen? I want to hear from God. I don't want to hear from me. How many times have you ever been wrong? Please raise your hand. How many times have you ever been wrong in your life? And if you've been wrong and wrong and wrong, but you're going to sit there meditating on your mind, on your thoughts, instead of meditating on Bible says, on Scripture, on God's Word. You think I'm kidding? I love this one. Where are you? There you are. This is exactly what I'm talking about. When an unclean spirit, this is Luke 11, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Ouch. That's amazing. It just means you accepted God, and He's in your heart, in your mind, amen? And then don't have any problems and everything's forgotten and you just go on with your life and the demon comes back and doesn't see Jesus, doesn't hear the scriptures, doesn't hear the presence of God, doesn't hear the Holy Spirit. He comes back and he said, this is the perfect place I need to be in. So I'm saying when you meditate and you just open your mind up, you're opening your mind to all spirits. Can I get an amen? Amen? You open your mind to all spirits. Say that with me. All spirits. That's what you do. That's the truth. Unless you fill the void with something, you're opening your mind to all sorts of ideas and all sorts of thoughts. And I just read to you that God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. That should make you think. Uh-huh. Makes me think. Right there in your bulletin. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways. Says who? Says the Lord. And blessed are those who follow who? The Lord. So we're following the Lord today, and I want you to be blessed, which means I want all things for you, not just a blessing. What blessing just covers all the bases. When you say God bless you, remember what I said? It covers everything. Praise God, this is so cool. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Some people say, how do I do that? You want the answer? One scripture at a time. Because one scripture at a time is enough. Think about that. All the things you're going through in your life, one scripture at a time to meditate. Say that word. Did I agree? Meditate. Now you're going to meditate on the Word. You're going to sit there and get real quiet, and you're going to think the Word of God. You're going to say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And you're going to get into no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And you meditate on that. Nobody, you got a doctor coming up, you got a thing, you got a job, you got a test, you got all kinds of things coming against you every day, and then you sit down and just say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I rebuke anything that's coming against me. In the road I have to travel, the highway, whatever path I'm on God's path. He's guiding my way. No weapon. Sometimes maybe that's not what you need to hear, but maybe you can just say, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. Say, I don't know if I can face that. Then you say, no, I need to meditate. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. I don't have to. God is going to strengthen me. Hallelujah. Or you can meditate on this. God saying, fear not, for I am with you. Fear not. Anybody ever been afraid or going through stuff? Of course you are. But you say, fear not, for you are with me. And you meditate on that. Fear not. I can't be afraid. God has got me to this day, November. God got me through all the things in life. You all know what you've done in your life. You all know what you've done where God had to be with you or keep you safe, Deacon Chuck. 90 miles an hour in a boat going from Long Island Sound. And you can't swim. And here you sit. God is saying, what are you worried about? Praise the Lord. But that's what, see, that's the meditation. That you're meditating on the Word. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Wow. So let's finish. Blessed is he who walks with God. You will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on you. You keep your mind on God. No matter what you're going to face, what you're going through, you keep your mind on God and you sit down and meditate. You never leave me nor forsake me. You said you never leave me nor forsake me. You said I'd find good success. You said my road would be prosperous. You said there's a job for me. You said there's help for me. I'm claiming my health with you. I'm asking you to bless me, Lord. And you hold on to that and you just claim that and you meditate on that. Those beautiful things. You will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on you. Because God is fighting your battle. Exodus said, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. When you're feeling anxious, when you're worried about something, you say, the Lord is going to fight this battle. I don't have to fight it. My doctors don't have to fight it. My boss doesn't have to fight it. Whatever you're going through, because he knows what you're going through. We read that in the Psalm in responsive reading. He knows you're waking up and going to bed. He knows all that. So you don't have to tell him the story because he's been there with you. But if you say the Lord will fight for you, you need to only be still. Wow. And guess what happens? You are blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. John, you're blessed. Walter, you're blessed. Chuck, Marilyn, you're blessed. Sandy, Nancy, everybody, you're blessed. Brother Jim, you're blessed. Brother Bill, you're all blessed because you're following God. And I'm not giving it to you. Can I get an amen? It's not coming from me. I'm giving you the word. It's God who will bless you. Hallelujah. Lord, bless us all in this church. In Jesus' name, give him praise, church. My wife said not to be long. Psalm 1, 3 verses. There's only 6 verses in the Psalm. It would take you a minute to read it. But it took me all that time to preach it because each word, bless. Wow. God bless you. I want that. One word, one page, when you read it, is. How many know now is? Is mean we already have it. You already have it. You have it when? Now. You don't have to wait for it. Blessed is. You have it now. Because you love him and you follow him. But delight in the word of God. Find whatever you love. You know how to delight. Whatever you're doing in life. Whatever draws your attention. You love that. Draw your attention to the word of God. Because that's where strength comes. And then you meditate on one scripture at a time. Sister Jean, am I not right? One scripture at a time. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's all you need to know. Before you start meditating. And then God said, I will fight your battle. The battle is not yours, but it's his. And I will never leave you or forsake you. That's what you need to know. And you meditate on that. And that fills you with joy and peace. And God said, you'll be blessed. It's all about Jesus. That book that we read from front to back, one name you need to know, Jesus. Simply put, let's do what the Lord told us to do this morning and be in obedience to the word of God. Let's take that bread as he took it and blessed and broke it, saying, my body being torn for you, and let's share together. He said to eat the bread and do this in remembrance of him. In Jesus' name, church. Forgive us for our iniquities, Lord. Our doubts, our worries, all the things that we think are sins, Lord, that we miss those things that we forget. To doubt you and to worry about things that are against your word. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for those times of worry and anxiety. Those words that we might have said with our tongue that's untamable, Lord. We ask you to forgive us for those. For the pride that we might have, Lord, for the all the criticizing we might do for the things that we say, Lord, forgive us, Lord. Because nobody is worthy to be here except through your grace. And that's what we need to remember, to humble ourselves. So cleanse us, Lord, as we receive the sacrament of your blood. He poured the wine into a cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins. Hallelujah. Drink this and do this in remembrance of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Now remember, when you say God bless you, you're saying an awful lot. When you're saying be blessed, you're saying an awful lot for that person. When I say to you, I wish you to be blessed, it's saying a lot for you. Because when one blessing fulfills all your needs, one blessing fulfills all your heart and your contentment is in the Lord. I bless that. I ask that for you today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give him praise, church. Blessed is the man who. Let's all be those men. Hallelujah. Read with me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Remember when you say God bless you, what you're really saying. And receive those blessings from God. Receive them from God and love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And I pray you delight yourself in the Word of God, because that's where your strength will come from and your peace that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. Thank you for everybody being in attendance. Brother Zippy, come on. God bless America. Sing with my brother.
John got the flag?
Yep.
God bless America. Home, sweet home.